Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with my co-host, Ryan Dobson. And Ryan and Dr., listeners may recall that a few months ago, we shared a conversation with one of our very good friends, Dr. Dennis Rainey.
Oh, Luann, he had so much great stuff to say.
He always
does. Wise. Mm-hmm. I could listen to him all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But we could not fit all of that into one program.
Well, you know, it's frustrating sometimes that our program is only 26 minutes long.
I've heard you say that a time or two,
yeah,
Doctor.
It really does frustrate me because we're blessed here in this studio to have some of the most brilliant authors and speakers anywhere in the country, maybe anywhere in the world. And we could talk with them for days and days. And sometimes, in fact, we do record multiple programs because we get on a roll. And our conversation with Dennis Rainey was certainly one of those instances. He was here to discuss his new book entitled Stepping Up, A Call to Courageous Manhood. And we had a wonderful exchange about courage and how that attribute has been manifested in our lives as men. And that led to an unplanned discussion that we have held until this time. And we're going to let our listeners hear it today because this is going to be a very helpful program for moms and dads. And it had to do, as you'll hear in a moment, with how to address your son who is perhaps in his late teens or early 20s and he's not making a smooth transition into full-blown adulthood and manhood. And in other words, we're going to be talking about the prodigal.
It's a topic many parents are unfortunately facing, Doctor, and that is exactly where we're going to jump back into this conversation today. For those of you not familiar with Dr. Rainey, he is the president of Family Life and the host of the very popular Christian radio program, Family Life Today. He and his wife, Barbara, have been married since 1972. They have six children and 17, yes, Doctor, count them, 17 grandchildren.
It's not fair.
My father-in-law has 17 grandkids.
Really?
Yeah, he does. He does. You know, Dennis...
Get going, Ryan.
You're going to be waiting a long time for that. The program with Dennis offers so much hope, and I think parents really will find this helpful because it does seem bleak at times. And this is coming from someone who had a bit of a rocky past myself.
And we're going to let people hear about that and be honest about it.
So here now on this Family Talk broadcast is Dr. Dennis Rainey answering a question you referred to earlier, Doctor, about the most courageous steps he had taken, both as a man and as a father.
And I have permission from our child that this occurred with to be able to tell it. But for a number of years, we had a prodigal, and it was tough. And the way I answer the question is the most courageous thing I've ever done was to hang in there and attempt. And I would say the word attempt because I don't think I did it perfectly, but attempt to love and pursue and still be a father who cared for, attempted to appropriately protect, but at the same time not enable and draw some boundaries in my own marriage and our own family, but keep on loving a child who didn't necessarily want that love.
Were you in conflict together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard to describe all that was taking place because it didn't occur at a point in time. It occurred over a period of time that lasted several years.
But I tell you, anybody that's got six kids has got at least one like that. I mean,
well,
I don't care how big a Christian leader you are. One of those kids and probably four or five are going to take you on.
Well, you know, we don't raise robots. We're raising human beings who have to become their own people. And there's been a lot of times I'm sure you've wanted to make a few decisions for Ryan, just like the same would be true of me for my other children. But it's at those moments when we have to open our hands, hold them open, face up before God and say, God, they're your children. Mm-hmm. They're adults. They've got to hammer out life on their own. They've got to come to their own spiritual conclusions. And I want to tell you something. Courage sometimes doesn't take place on a battlefield in a faraway country. It occurs in homes mm-hmm. where dads sometimes have to do some of the most unimaginable things, but they're the right thing to do. Yep. And that's how I answer the question.
Well, it's a good answer, and it's one that most fathers will sooner or later have to deal with.
And I have to double around and say this child is really doing great right now and just taking some very good steps in life and showing some real signs of maturity. And I'm really encouraged and just cheering him on.
You know, Dennis, you talk about having a prodigal. I went away to college and wasted my time. I wasn't going nuts, but I certainly wasn't doing anything worthwhile. And I got bad grades and I fooled around and I kept getting that warning. Listen, we cannot waste God's money. And after a couple of years of that, my parents just said, listen, I don't know what you're going to do, but you better find a place to live and a job because you can't come home and we're not going to waste money on college anymore. And at the time, I was scared. I wasn't really angry because I'd been warned enough times, but I look back on that as one of the sources of the most embarrassment of my life because what a thing to do. Here you are, James Dobson, child and family psychologist, advice to millions and millions of people. People go, hey, Jim, how's Ryan doing? Oh, well, you wouldn't believe it. He went to college and we paid for an amazing private university and he wasted every penny for 2.5 years. So we told him he couldn't come home and he had to get a house and a job and pay for himself. And he's in a dead-end job and he's cooking in a restaurant that's going to lead nowhere and he lives in a shack in this crazy part of town. Oh, yeah, we're so proud of him. I mean, what a great thing to do. But he would have ruined me had he let me stay in college. It would have ruined me forever.
You know, Dennis, if I can add to that, that was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. I wanted my son to be in college.
Sure.
And it was a Christian college. I wanted him to finish school and make something out of himself. And we came to a point where I pulled him out, not knowing if he would ever get back. And it was something we prayed a lot about. And that may have been the most courageous thing I have ever done because I called him. We didn't have a fight. I just remember on the phone saying, Ryan, this isn't going to work. Life isn't like this. And so you better decide where you're going to live. You're going to flip hamburgers or something. And he did. And he came home and worked in a bakery and hated it. And everything turned around.
In those moments, you had to have a measure of fear. The fear that you're going to lose your son, you're going to lose a relationship, you might lose him to who knows what else. And it's at that point I'd give the definition of courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing your duty mm-hmm. in the face of fear.
Absolutely.
And that's what you did with Ryan. You looked at him and you literally called him to step up. I mean, you said, get out of the pigsty and step up and become the man God created you to be. And I think young men need that today.
Well, Dennis, you say that when you bring this message before men, you physically see them respond, don't you?
I do, because I think they need the visual image of where they're headed with their lives, that there are steps beyond manhood, and we can become a mentor and have purpose, and we can ultimately shoot for becoming a patriarch. You don't become a patriarch by chance. You become a patriarch by doing what's right over and over and over again as a man. Jim Dobson is a patriarch. There isn't a listener who listens to this broadcast and doesn't know of him that wouldn't fully recognize him as fully standing on that step. Why? Because Jim Dobson, has he done it all perfectly from the very beginning? No, he's never said that, but he has. Over his lifetime, repeatedly done what is right in the face of controversy, opposition, people who disagree with you. And if there's ever been a time when we needed patriarchs, sages, mm-hmm. men on the top step, not in a dictatorial fashion, but in an inviting way, inviting men to step up and out of adolescence and letting men know that there really are steps beyond just being a man to becoming that spiritual multiplier on the mentor step, mm-hmm. and that ultimately calling other men to finish strong and finish well. And you're doing that. I've had several of these men in my life, and I'll tell you something. I'm 63 right now, and I thank God that I had a man named Bill Bright who was stretched out all the way to his final breath, dying in his early 80s. He did not quit. He didn't
rust
out.
He was writing five books when he died.
He had 80 projects going on. I mean, on his deathbed when I went to visit him, he gave me an assignment. And I walked outside and all of a sudden hit me. Dr. Bright's dying and he just gave me an assignment. What's the deal?
Dennis and Dad, I meet parents all the time when I speak who say, I've got a prodigal and I don't know what to do. And maybe someone listening has a son like I used to be who's just fooling around and wasting life. And they're thinking, I don't want to lose a relationship with them, but I also don't want to lose them for all eternity either. And they're hurting so bad. Dad, you know, in the darkest time, and this is kind of a risk, it's the first time I've asked you this, what was it like to see me getting up at going to a dead-end job and living in this teeny tiny place and going nowhere?
Wow. Well, Ryan, you were in your early 20s by that point. You were a man. And we can only take you so far.
Yeah.
You know, we could only do so much. And rather than nagging you about it, we went to our knees. And we just prayed for you every day. We prayed for you every single day. Mm-hmm. And until I was unable to do it physically, I fasted and prayed for you once a week. And your mom did it for 25 years. And the Lord heard and answered that prayer. So that's the first thing. You know, when your kids are beyond your reach and they're not moving in the right direction, you go right to the Word and right to your knees. And I think that's the most important thing. Dennis, jump in here because you've been there and you've seen it.
Well, those were my thoughts as well. God loves the prayer of a helpless parent. He delights in rescuing the weak. And we prayed for our child every day. I mean, our hearts were burdened. We'd get up thinking about it. We'd go to bed thinking about it. And it's not a matter of fixing it. As a man, I wanted to fix it. I'm sure you wanted to fix it,
yes.
Too. You can't fix certain things. You have to allow God to be God in that young person's life and trust them to Him. I think one thing I would encourage parents not to do, and that is increase the number of sermons and the loudness of your preaching.
Yeah.
You've really got to bite your tongue and shut up.
I love the story of the father of the prodigal son.
Yep.
He didn't lecture him at all. He went and got the money and gave it to him and watched him walk off. But he also didn't go bail him out. He didn't go find him someplace and say, can't we talk this thing over? He let him run aground.
I've now talked to several prodigals and parents of prodigals. The prodigal knows what's right. I mean, Ryan, when you were at your worst, lowest point, did you know what was right?
Oh, of course. Of course.
It's not a matter of hearing it again.
No, it's really not. And you know what else, though? You know what the father of the prodigal son didn't do? When his son came home, he didn't say, I told you so. I was right all along. They didn't beat him up for coming home.
Running to him with the royal robe on him.
Yeah.
Because that's the important thing, you know. If we're all going to go to heaven at the end of the day, you know, let's just go together.
Ryan, I remember the night that you came over and we sat down. We were down in my basement. We sat down and talked about this, and you were telling me, those people I'm working with are going nowhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're making $5 an hour, and they don't know who they are or where they're headed. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be like them. I'm going to be one of them. I said, I know. That's why people go to college.
Yeah. And I had seen my future. There was a girl younger than me. She was about 17, and there was a woman that worked there who was about 45, and they were both making the same wage. And I thought, that is exactly where I'm heading. Hmm. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And I did not want to grow up and be that. But the train had passed.
Well, it hadn't passed. And that's why I said to you, would you like to go back to college? And you said, I sure would.
Yep.
And I said, well, I'll give you one semester at a time. I'll pay for one semester. And you go. You were going to Biola University. And you went there. And I gave you another semester. And you graduated from there, and it's been straight up ever since. So
I don't know about that, but it's certainly been a whole lot better.
You know what your interaction really illustrates, though, and it's something that men today need to be doing in other men's lives. You basically said, you've been given grace. Here's an opportunity for you to step up. Mm-hmm. Will you step up and assume the responsibility of a man? And I think there are all kinds of moments that come our way as young men. It's not just for the older guys, but as young men who run into other guys who are trying to find their way in the journey, and they need an older man in their life, even if he's only a few years older than them, who could say, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've done what you're doing. It's time. Mm-hmm.
Ryan, you said to me one time, I don't know if you remember it, but this was after this incident occurred. You said to me, I've never respected you more highly than when you called and told me that I was through at school.
Yeah. I didn't like it a whole lot. But that had, and especially looking back, had to be one of the hardest decisions you could possibly make. I was surprised. I didn't think you'd make it. I thought that your desire for me to finish college was so strong that you'd let me just kind of coast through and waste, you know, 4 or 5 years and eke by with something.
It would have destroyed you, right?
Of course. Of course.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You have no way of knowing yet, but you're a parent, and I hope you never know. But what you're saying is so true. It really does demand enormous courage in a dad, or for that matter, a mom, to draw a hard line in the sand with a child who's not doing well. I mean, you feel like you are risking everything. You feel like you're risking
all of eternity hangs in the balance.
It certainly feels that way. And if I didn't have a solid belief from the scripture that God is God and I'm not.
Yeah.
And that he's in charge, sovereignly ruling the affairs of men and women, and that he's working out his plan, then I don't know how one could make that kind of decision, because ultimately you have to, as I said, open your hands and let your son, your daughter go and be willing to trust them to God.
Yeah. Mm. You know, you're speaking to a lot of dads out there that are saying, I will force it. I can make you do good. I can make you act responsibly, and who cannot let go of that control. And sometimes that's a lack of faith, where they just can't trust God to be God. They've got to do it for him.
I think you're right. I think it's a form of control. And it may mean, and it's not an equation. You can't spell out to the hundreds of thousands, millions of people who are listening to this broadcast, this is exactly how you do it. One way fits all.
Yeah.
Because God has to lead you in terms of what to say and when to say it, or when to be silent and how long to be silent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're exactly right. It's real easy for me as a father to want to fix it and address it and think that this is my problem that I've got to address. And I think one of the big challenges as we raise children through adolescence into adulthood is stepping back. And as I actually write about this in the book, about as a parent, instead of being big in their life, being small.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely being small in your children's lives. It goes against everything you feel as a dad or as a mom. And again, letting God be God in their lives.
You know, going back to the story of the prodigal son, There is a line in that story, especially in the Living Bible. I think it says much the same thing in the direct translations. But the prodigal son had just gotten miserable, and he was hungry, and he was eating with the pigs. I mean, he had the most miserable circumstances. And the scripture says, no one gave him anything. The next line says, when he finally came to his senses. Hmm. There's a linkage between those two. You know, allowing somebody to experience the consequences of sin has a way of bringing you to your senses.
A parent wants to believe the best about their child and has an enormous amount of trust and expectation that they're going to do what's right. And the very thing you're talking about, it's like a gravitational pull not to rescue them, not to just step in and cushion the fall and be a shock absorber once again for them. Now, we're talking about adult children now. We're not talking we're not talking about 13, 14, 15-year-olds who they need parents right there coaching them as they go through these situations
well,
we're talking about.
The situation with Ryan came out of a very, very close family where we had skied together and we had hunted together and fished together. We were bonded together. It was a great family situation, one perfect, but it was a great family situation. Ryan goes off to college and this happens, which in some ways was a shock. It made it more difficult.
Right.
But I think it was the Rubicon. It was what Ryan had to go through to be a man, to take that step up. And I thank God that he did.
Yeah. And the older he'll get, the more he'll appreciate the act of courage and the step you and, you know, you as parents took in that situation, too.
Shirley just said, you're going to handle this one.
It's very difficult on moms.
Oh, extremely.
I mean, this goes against the total instinct of a mother. I mean, a mother's heart comes out. She's set up to enable. She is set up to rescue. She is set up to go the second, third, fourth, fifth mile well beyond what should be taking place.
Well, all of us moms certainly relate to that description by our guest today, Dr. Dennis Rainey. Dr. Dobson, here in the close, I just think so many parents are dealing with this whole issue of prodigal children right now.
Boy, there was such wisdom in that conversation coming from Dennis. Mm-hmm. And he is dead right. It's the mom that has trouble at this point. She is set up to rescue. Mm-hmm. And that's why families need fathers. That's the father's job. I said there in the end that Shirley said to me, you're going to handle this one with Ryan, because she was not prepared to do it. Hmm. And it was very hard for me. I want to say one last thing in closing here, because Ryan, you made mention earlier to the fact that this was very embarrassing for us and for me.
Sure.
And it was because God put me out there on the cutting edge of families and then to have this happen to my own son. But I would like to remind people that the creator of the universe himself in the Garden of Eden had the same problem with Adam and Eve.
That's right.
It wasn't his fault. It was their choice. Mm-hmm. But you can't make someone follow a responsible path and to do what's right. And the father of the prodigal son that we talked about in the interview symbolizes God himself.
Yeah.
Jesus told that story about the father of the prodigal. And it wasn't his fault. And he did the right thing. Mm-hmm. He allowed his son to eat with the pigs. And there are times when you have to do that. But you go on loving them, and you welcome them back with open arms, and you kill the fatted calf, and you put the purple robe on them. And that's what the Father does for us. We're all prodigals, one of us. It's not just our sons and daughters.
Well, and sometimes you don't put the purple robe on them, but you do send them back to school.
We did it.
That's right. And I appreciate it. You know, and I do want to say to parents, someday your kids may appreciate it. They may not, but it's still the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing you can do for them. As hard as it is, it's the best thing that you can do.
I tell you what, I appreciate Dennis Rainey being here and raising this topic. Mm-hmm. I think this has been helpful to people.
Well, and for parents who want to learn more about this or get a copy of Dennis's book, they can find us at familytalk.org. And the title again is Stepping Up, A Call to Courageous Manhood.
Ryan, I brought a copy of that book home the day that Dennis was here with us, and it's been very popular in my house. Again, it's called Stepping Up, A Call to Courageous Manhood. You can request that at familytalk.org, where you can also find the previous conversation we had with Dennis Rainey.
Or if you'd prefer to call us for those resources, our number is 877-732-6825.
And it is necessary for me to say here in closing that if you can help us financially, please do so, because we could sure use the help.
We could. You can partner with us financially at familytalk.org. Or one last time, our number is 877-732-6825.
Thanks for spending this time with us today, and be sure to return tomorrow. We have an exciting message planned you will not want to miss. It's with up-and-coming conservative speaker Kate Aubenshain. We'll see you then.